This is session three of Information Farm Intelligence Analysis, recorded on June 11th, 2010. New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 6:39 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Zion.
Good evening.
Okay, we're here with Ed.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another Information Farm Intelligence Analysis with Ion and Bob Neverett. And today we're going to be looking at Richard Hoagland's interview with Henrik Palmgren at Red Ice Creations from the 30th of May of this year, 2010. So, Bob, are you ready?
Okay. Yes, you have here, note, ESA equals European Space Agency. So I assume Hoagland says ESA quite a lot.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. So the first topic is official space information is given out in dribbles. Brookings report commissioned by NASA in 1958. That's the notes you give me. So we start the recording.
I've spent almost now 30 years looking at various aspects of NASA and ESA and the Russian Space Agency and the Japanese and the Indians and the Chinese. And the conclusion I've come to is that the data that we are presented, the data we get to see, the photographs, the amazing imagery that has come to us from these spacecraft, has been filtered. It has been censored. We are not being allowed to see the real solar system. And instead, interesting and important and crucial data about our real, you know, celestial neighborhood is allowed to trickle out in a kind of a time-release aspirin, as we say in America, mode, where people are inculcated in a kind of a drip, drip, drip mentality, where independent researchers like myself and many others have been talking and presenting and you know, discussing and doing interviews like this for years with data. And I believe now, after 30-some years of doing this, based mostly on the ritual aspects that I discuss in Dark Mission with Mike, that, you know, we are on some kind of a time release of the information as to who we really are and the celestial neighborhood we really inhabit.
That's a very interesting thing to begin with. I've got a lot to say about that, the complexities of that. I have no problem that they do this drip-drip information, having been in intelligence myself.
It's like Maxwell House. It's good to the last drop.
And it's, you know, in an information-managed society, every institution does this. Now, but aside from that complex response, is NASA holding back information as Richard Hoagland suspects?
Withholding what information? They're not allowing us to see our very own solar system. Well, why are you leaving it up to somebody else to see your solar system? It's amazing. If you're so disconnected that you can only get it from someone else, then you're disconnected enough that you could be presented with anything.
So, knowing Ion's pattern of information, you would suggest that someone could find out about the universe on their own.
Oh, we've got it. We've got it all worked out. NASA give all the false information to the Mayans for their calendar when they'd look up in the sky and see where the heavens were, that they gauged on the 25,613-year cycle. So it's really NASA boogered up the Mayans that made Juan Valdez throw the coffee bean so that the Maxwell House would be good to the last drop. Oh, we got it. We're sorry. Never mind. We had to clean it up a little bit. We were confused, so we had to get cleaned up. So that's how it works. You see, Galileo didn't have NASA to blame for disinformation.
Okay, but the Brookings, okay, we'll get into the Brookings report later. So the fact that information is given out in dribbles, It's because, as McLuhan pointed out, that information is designed by the effect it'll have. I mean, that's what mass security is. They may be wrong in anticipating that certain information...
Why can't they control flatulence all across the world?
Okay, no, no, cool. I got that. But you're not addressing what I immediately said, which I haven't finished. So the National Security Agency, or the National Security Act, is based on the idea that people couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle about UFOs. That's the popular cover story that's presented in Hollywood movies all the time. And many people can handle or think they can handle the information, and they say they're outraged that you hold it for me. I'm an educated citizen, and I have a right to know, and this and that. They may be, from McLuhan's point of view, a little naive about what information would do to anybody. But I know ION would not have a National Security Act, because you think anything should be said or done, and there's no rules, and you create your own reality, so you should not even care whether an institution... It's like ION saying the president should even care about what he's saying, because he should always diminish his role as president, because it's a disservice to say that people need a president or require a president.
Okay, are you through?
Yeah.
The NSA, if they're so smart and they're so bright and they're so wonderful, why can't they control their Senate and their House of Representatives? If they're so bright, why they can't control the oil spill in the Gulf? If they're so nationally secure, why can't they keep the terrorists at bay? If they're so smart, why ain't they got enough money to pay their bills? If you're going to give the NSA that much credit, they ought to be doing a more efficient job, do you think?
Okay, so is Richard Hoagland naive on this? Is Richard Hoagland naive on this point, thinking that they're confident?
Well, it's an ipso facto, because of that we're less than, and NASA's more than, NASA, the space part.
Right.
NASA's more than, filtering it through the NSA clan, that they have to drip it piece by piece by piece, because humans ain't smart enough to figure it out for themselves. It just seems to be a bit odd that then you can have flatulence and it's around the world before it even has time to offend your sensory perception of smell. Before it even gets there, everybody in the world's got a boob tube about it. And now he's saying that all this is just drip, 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 letting you know what you can take and keeping everything else to the self. They can't even monitor their own business, let alone control the security of a country.
Okay, fine.
Legislating morality.
Okay, fine. I could quote Foucault, F-O-U-C-A-U-L-T, but McLuhan laid it out before Foucault, and Foucault probably got it from McLuhan, or a derivative of McLuhan in the late 60s when McLuhan was popular in France. Foucault would say that major establishment institutions actually welcome the ideas that they're screwing up and covering up things, because it makes it seem the institution is important and has some responsibilities that they may be lax on, and it gives a reality to the institution, whereas the institution is totally irrelevant on all levels, and they need to put out disinformation that makes people think, uh-oh, they're not telling us stuff. That makes those establishment institutions seem important, that they are withholding stuff.
So therefore, then the NSA would pay these theorists to have words regarding the cover-up so that they could be amended or suspended at a higher level of information flow?
Exactly. That's exactly it. I don't know if Richard Hoagland's paid, but he serves the NASA's function of being taken seriously competent, like you were just making fun of earlier. That helps to have the whistleblowers. That's part of the information.
Oh, so it's just a paperclip away then, huh?
You mean Project Paperclip?
We do.
Okay, so I've learned a lot from ION about what's really going on at NASA and these kind of activities. And if George Norrie or Art Bell heard what we knew, they'd drop Richard and them, because their stuff is puny, you know, the face on Mars. We'll tell them stuff that will make their hair crawl, or ION would. But we could get into some of that if Ed has a question to that makes him think of something to go into. But the basic point I'm saying and you're agreeing with is that these whistleblowers are part of the information collage, the information daily mosaic. You've got to have something. It's like the old advertising principle. You create a disease and then offer a cure. You create a problem, a neurosis, a fetish, and then you offer a cure. If you didn't point out the problem, then you wouldn't have any concern about the problem.
Good.
So that's basically there. So let's carry on here with the rest of this section.
So now, well, just a second.
Okay.
So what you're starting with is an if-so facto flow of information. So that'll become clear as you move along here, but go ahead.
Right. I'm saying that whistleblowing is a necessary part to legitimize NASA.
Okay.
And make it seem like it's doing an important thing.
But aren't they all upset because they lost all their funding?
Oh, yeah, that's another. See, and so that happened 30 years ago. And so people like Hogan are keeping NASA in the potentially eligible for more budget approvals.
Well, okay.
Okay.
Do you think that this will be of an, as you mentioned, ancient nature, or we're talking about E.T. as alive and out there kicking around, so to speak?
Well, then you have to go back and you have to look at why this agonizingly slow release of information without official confirmation.
Well, slow, agonizing release is, if you haven't got that much to tell, then you're just going to, you keep your funding going. I'm also reminded of, we've talked about on cash flow that Bern, is it Bern, Switzerland? B-E-R-N, where the Hadron Collider is? Is it CERN?
CERN.
Well, it's called CERN, but what's
it's called CERN, but it's in Switzerland. It's Switzerland.
I know it's in Switzerland, but what is it, near Zurich or Bern? What part of Switzerland is it near? The Hadron Collider.
It would be outside. It's a ways from Switzerland, but it would be
no, outside. It's Zurich, you mean. It's in Switzerland.
Outside of Zurich.
Okay. So that institution, we hear it from ION, has made some pretty important discoveries, but they are not going to release them because they'll lose their funding because it goes beyond whoever's paying them paradigm.
Oh, remember we discussed that already, though, discussing of where did they get their money check from?
Oh, yeah, that was another aspect. So you have here NASA, they don't have much to give out, so they dribble it. So it should be dribbled if they want to keep any kind of budget allocated to them.
What is it that their process of doing? What are they doing?
I don't know what
is
they're doing.
A secret? Well, what gets funded? What gets budgeted? Now you're done with the Discovery series. You're not going to have any more shitty shuttles. So, okay, good. Now what? All done.
All they can do now is cover up UFO contact.
What's the report? Okay, here's the report. No more space shuttles. Okay. News at 11. Well, now we're going to tell you how many space shuttles we're not going to put up in the future. Yeah.
Okay, but they could engage always with UFO cover-up. That seems to be the main whistleblower axe to grind.
But that's not necessarily the case. That doesn't go through NASA. That all goes within the letter, the alphabet, folks. It's supposed to be protecting and covering the X-Files. Ain't got nothing to do with NASA, for Pete's sake.
Okay, so there's nothing for NASA to do other than to create nice imagery that people can watch like a TV show.
Right. They don't even own the telescopes anymore.
Okay, continuing.
We live in a culture, both here and there in Europe, where unless someone says something officially, almost nobody believes it.
Right.
We have lost the ability to independently process information and to come to our own conclusion. We are desperately waiting for an authority figure to tell us the truth.
There's the contradiction.
We aren't.
You aren't what?
Waiting on someone to tell us the truth.
Right, and he does say, you know, rely on your individual perception, but that's within the meme that NASA is something valuable, has something necessary to provide for us. And I'm not saying it's not valuable. It's just only one tiny aspect of not a culture. Richard's talking about we live in a culture. Man, we live in so many cultures, so many media dynamics that you're not. It's not monomaniac. It's not a monad. And
see, the belief system is nothing other than a thought you've been thinking. And let somebody official get up and say something, and that's when you start asking questions. Let BP give an official statement of what's going on in the Gulf. Well, you know they're not telling the truth because their lips are moving. Well, you got the conspiracy is before the theory.
Yeah.
The conspiracy takes place before the theory. Now that we're desperately hanging on every word that's coming drip by drip by drip so we can dissect it and tell them how that this official statement is not the quote truth, or that we can believe. Well, that's nothing other than a thought you've been thinking. Hey, let's just clean this up and get this straightened out. If you're interested in the solar system, if you're interested in it yourself, you know there's gates, there's portals. You can go there yourself. Take your Kodak with you. Take you some digital snapshots, bring it back. Go down to the Costco, put your little chip card in the little machine, print your pictures, and then we're sure Vanity Fair will pay you great sums of money. And if that doesn't work, hey, give it to the National Enquirer. That'd be good. Hey, the Financial Times will even take some of that goody, goody, good stuff. That's not a problem.
Okay, well, yeah, so Hoagland is putting too much emphasis on a very limited form of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the NASA website and their wonderful pictures and worrying about the face
what
of Earth.
What they're not saying. Well, Lord suffering cats.
Yeah, and now I tell you, George Norrie and Alex Jones and all these information people, the clones of Dan Rather and Katie Couric, they will not have this view we're having. They think information's important. They think there's a truth we must get.
Well, then what have they done with what the truth they've gotten so far? Has that helped them?
Well, it gives them a career. It gives them a role.
Oh. You mean like vascular surgeons?
That implied by the word role?
Something to tear up so you
can... like, so, yes, medicine. That's people who want a role. With a white coat. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So,
yeah, so basically...
It's like when you go to the hospital to get a consultation and they say, sorry, we don't do consultations, we do surgery.
So it's the white coat syndrome, the expert syndrome that our society... But now the experts, they haven't had any impact, as Hoagland said, for 20 or 30 years, unless you go to college or school and you're forced to write tests on them. But for the average citizen, they're not impressed with the experts. And it's an economy, an information economy built on abuse value, where, you know, NASA or somebody comes out, makes a statement, including Obama, and then everybody, millions of words are typed, millions of images are employed, millions of...
Opinions are engaged, beliefs are summoned, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what everybody does. Obama probably didn't understand, hey, you're there to be a Daffy Duck that everybody can comment on, and the economy's based on movies, books, and magazines, and blogs, and terrorist bombings in response to you, Mr. Obama. You keep the economy going. That's what I mean by the word makes the market. So then you have this specialist area of NASA. That's just a subset of our culture.
That's a wascally webbit.
Yes. Okay, continuing with this.
Now, I see, you know, glimmers of light in that dismal horizon. There are more and more people who are thinking independently.
I would say that people are duped into thinking independently because the digital technology allows you to have your own scene. So why would you even expect a unified view or belief system that people gather around and say that's the truth? They don't care about a unified truth. They want the ability to express their point of view. And so being independent, as he's seeing more and more of this independent thinking, well, that's natural when you have a digital technology. And it's not significant in any way other than it nullifies his whole agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Comment?
And it cleans up. It cleans up the whole thing. That people, like you said, they're much more important with their point of view than the belief you're trying to convince them of.
Yeah, you mean the
belief that you're trying to get the mass
people to ratify.
You're right. You're right. There's no unified meme that they can ratify, and it's the persons of the God American given right to express my view, and I got a small brain, and I intend to use it, and I'm going to tweak the hell out of it.
New, this isn't new. Old-timers, now you'd fit in that category, I guess, Bob.
Yep.
The real old-timers, they'll sit up there and tell you quick that they didn't go to the moon.
Yes, right.
They'll tell you straight that they don't believe it, they're not having it, and you can bring back gelato from the moon or some green cheese, and that they ain't going to have it. So now
let me respond to that, Hein. There is a subset in this NASA meme, a couple books written and probably websites on it, around the idea that they didn't go to the moon. No, that's part of the information mosaic there.
Okay.
So not just the old guys.
So the belief. So what did they do? Did they not do a good enough job? The people that was there that told what happened, that wasn't good enough as far as the NASA's response to drip by drip by drip, that they couldn't get a cup full of Joe regarding it, the rocks that they brought back, the satellite zooms up there and sees that the flag that they've stuck in the moon is still there. Now that's not enough. You see, the footprints that would still be there from the rover, footprints don't evaporate in a gravityless society world of a moon. So those footprints would still be there if they could take a snapshot of it, shooting rockets at it to see if there's water in it. They couldn't tell when they were there, but they can get down to each detail.
Yeah, but that may be a fact that they landed on the moon, but that's not important for the tweeting cultures. They want to come up with a unique point of view. So you say,
this interview is presenting that NASA is withholding information because you didn't believe the last thing they told you. So what makes you think you're going to believe the next thing they're going to tell you? And so this becomes conspiratorial how?
Well, it becomes fodder for George Norrie and them, and that's why their shows are so boring. They just have experts on. They don't have actual stimulating interaction between people.
Okay. So they don't know and they don't care. They're just talking about it.
Okay. Yeah. They just have a right to be the expert and work for the institution they're ostensibly bashing. What we're saying here is bashing the whole information culture itself.
Bashing the bashing. Okay.
Yeah, we're bashing the bashing and the establishment. We're pointing out the gross hypocrisy of having an opinion in relation to a Niagara Falls of information patterning.
Let's have an epiphany so you don't think about it anymore. You know.
That's what we're
then
for.
Then once you know, you won't have to listen to even us tell you what you know. If you know, then you don't have to think. And when you quit thinking, then you know. And once you know, then there can't be any contrast come from it. Because after a little while, you just ain't going to have it because you know better.
Okay, so let's continue.
And the Internet has given us extraordinary...
The Internet. Look at this naive statement. The Internet has given us extraordinary twittering. And he thinks that individual... There's no value in individual thinking. What value system does it relate to? Oh, that means people are literate or they can read or they express themselves. No, they're supposed to be arriving at some information, factual base that means they're a knowing. But the Internet culture allows no knowing in that old traditional sense of arriving.
Maybe all it does is contrast itself with what you know with somebody else knows.
That's right. Okay, so there's this total naivety in this statement, the beginning of a statement.
And the Internet has given us extraordinary tools to independently find information, to cross-correlate it, to come to conclusions, but most people still don't do that.
He doesn't understand why people fall back on what I call the TV landscape, the couch potatoes. They're exploring all day long, making up information patterns. You want to take a break, so you go and you sit there and you watch some generalized entertainment source. Maybe not so much now today in 2010, but all through the last 15 years of the Art Bell kind of genre, they needed to go and look at the mainstream stuff to figure out what they're going to tweet about the next day. You know, so there's a role for the passivity.
Haven't you heard that the bird is a word?
Right. And so the passivity, he might claim, that most people sit back and accept. No, no, they don't accept it. They just require that as part of their day, is to watch what the outer world is saying so they can figure out what to bash. Neither the...
To gauge how better they are off than those others who are less.
Very good. Yeah, I like that.
If that's the mode, then you have to hearken back to this document that we found, oh gosh, now what, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, which we call the Brookings Report.
Right.
Which was an American report based out of NASA, commissioned by NASA of one of the think tanks in Washington, D.C., back when NASA just was formed, which was in the summer of 1958, which, of course, is what, 52 years now in the past. And in that document, they discussed the impact of various NASA investigations of what they term, I always love that term euphemistically, the out years. And they projected in this report, an official government report commissioned by NASA, called Brookings. Actually, it had a more complicated title, but you can find it if you search on the web, the Brookings Report, or if you go to enterprisemission.com and look for Brookings, you'll find it there. They basically said in this report that the human race was not ready to understand its real relationship with our celestial environment and our ancient history, et cetera, and certainly not with current extraterrestrials. So they proposed in this document that there be a, decades-long educational, inculcational, whatever you want to call it, program, which would ultimately wind up with people being stable enough, mature enough to handle the truth.
Mm.
And I think that they picked 2010 as the year, based on 58 as the beginning of the process, 50 years, half a century. So I fully expect that something interesting is going to be officially admitted in 2010, and we're seeing all kinds of evidence in all kinds of official areas, that which I'm sure we can get into, that in fact this hypothesis is probably what's going on. And again, it's so difficult to make, reliable political forecasts.
Yes.
As opposed to technical. And this is definitely a political forecast. So if 2010 passes and we kind of miss by a few months, like it's really 2011, I'm not going to lose much sleep, because it's only been half a century that we've actually known that there's been this agenda.
What is the agenda?
to unleash the incredible meme that's been built up since 1947, that there is some kind of activity going on out there in space that we have never admitted to. That might be what he's saying we're being protected from.
That we weren't ready as humans to believe, that they had to tell us to believe so that we could believe when they gave an official document that said we're supposed to believe.
There's no evidence.
Wait now. Let me make sure we got this now, Bob. This is important. We're sure this is important. We don't know how, but we're sure this is important. Okay. They know, some nebulous thing out there knows, and they wrote a paper about what it was going to be. They didn't know, but they were giving the gauge that what they thought they may have figured out, that they didn't figure out, but they were going to figure out, they were going to, and then that the people, humans, weren't ready for it. So the thing that they didn't know that they knew, that they thought they might knew, that they give a hypothesis regarding, they are going to set out a media campaign to get the people ready to know the thing that they didn't know then, that they weren't ready to know. So when they did know, then the humans would be able to know what the official document said, and they wouldn't be withholding what they knew that they didn't know that you could know. So we didn't know what you could know, or we know what you can't know. So when we figure out when you can know what you can't know, then by that time maybe we'll have figured out what we knew that you didn't know that you was hoping to find out an official document regarding.
Yeah, that's
right. Is that pretty close to it? And tell us now, are we missing something real obvious here, or We want to be as fair as we can be, but not so much. But we would really like to make sure that we are getting the candor at the same degree or level that's being well, I guess would be giving a propensable credence regarding.
Yes, I think you got it.
But, oh, good. Okay, we just wanted to make sure because it's kind of like, wow, this is
but okay, you're giving a valid response to this fogey notion that we need to know something, and that now we call that a content of the media. What here's Richard saying: they've been planning 50 years to release this fact, but they didn't notice that the internet or the Android meme, the Niagara Falls of information choice, would come since 1958. To the point where if someone, no matter who, flatulates, whatever the word is, that goes all over the world. They're missing that. They're naive about anybody would want to pay attention to one fact today. You need new information. You require new information every day that you can make fun of. That's what people are tweeting about.
Just exactly then, what in the hell has NSA been doing if they couldn't figure that out?
That's right. That's why they're not relevant. McLuhan said NASA was a 19th century operation. I mean, the whole myth of the 60s was it was a wonderful decade. Kennedy, I mean, Lyndon LaRouche built his whole political program on NASA going to Mars.
Yeah, we love the Lyndon.
No, but let me just finish, make sure that my point is, and you respond. But I'm saying that the naivety, I mean, people, 60s was a space age, going to space. Here's McLuhan comes out and says, hey, guys, this whole space program that is stimulating all kinds of budgets for kids to go to school and learn science so they can work at NASA and become astronauts, all that stuff is mere 19th century stuff. The real action in the 20th century is the traveling by television and telephone and radio. That's the real traveling, not going to an old geographical location called the moon. Anyway, that's on the formal dynamics that I'm citing. Your response, Ian, to either what I said or more you want to say.
Well, we just wanted to make sure that we were getting on the same page.
Yes. Yeah.
Either humans don't have a prayer, or the ones that supposedly doing all this withholding are not very bright.
Yeah, you can see, yes, you can see that the McLuhan insight. You can't make a radio show out of or a whole series of information daily reports on something that's pointing out that engaging in the information distribution is 19th century in itself. You have to step it down to, uh-oh, there's this particular issue about UFOs or about whether there's water on Mars or whether there's a Sasquatch somewhere or Loch Ness Monster or whether Marilyn Monroe was killed by JFK. All these things are specialized, are puny secrets, Ion. Puny secrets.
Right.
Protected. They're protected. So here's Hoagland trying to reveal a puny secret, whereas the big discoveries are protected by public incredulity, such as a statement by McLuhan that the whole NASA thing is a 19th century operation.
Very good.
Okay, so you have no problem with that. Okay, that's great.
Why can't they just tell us exactly when the space Jews come here?
Well, that would... If they came to an answer, just like in cancer development, they're not going to come up with a treatment for cancer or a cure because then that puts so many people out of work.
Oh. Okay.
Probably the science.
So that's what happened to the polio doctors then.
Yeah, they, no, that was just before the information environment, these problems of keeping things going. It was this tiny information world 50 years ago compared to today. What's even 60? It's getting near 60 years for polio. That's 1953, 54, right? That's when the Salk vaccine happened and all that, mid-50s, so it's just 55 years ago. It was a tinier information environment. Back then, something might have meant something, but certainly the CIA and the real manager of society knew that information was not relevant anymore, and that's why they didn't mind lying to people. They understood why they were lying to people, because they knew information was not relevant. So those that want to find valuable information and think information in any particular fact is significant, they're duped by the CIA's cynicism.
Okay. So we shouldn't give any credence or relativity to the official document when it comes in your mailbox.
That's right. I don't think that document... see, what's interesting is he does say, and I cite this at the beginning of our talk here, that it is the role of the expert to say that you're less than and you're not ready for this information. Maybe if you go to university, get a degree, and then become a PR person, understand the role of information as an effect, then maybe you're cynical enough to be able to handle the truth about the fact UFOs built the pyramids or the space Jews took over the Nazis, something like that. You know, that is the meme he's working within. And I'm saying, and you seem to illustrate, with the flatulence that goes around, just the exaggeration of every little American Idol trivia, that's what we live in today, that the whole idea that the institutions are based on wise men who are judging when we're ready for it or not, that's why NASA failed in 1973. It was not interesting to people anymore. The population caught up after taking drugs and all kinds of counterculture revolutions and mainstream revolution that was going on in lifestyles in the late 60s, early 70s. They understood instinctively that, yeah, NASA was a 19th century operation. Who gives a damn? And the government realized that and cut back its funding.
I guess you can blame Mike Douglas for that.
All the TV shows.
Okay.
It's the whole environment itself. Like propaganda.
No, not Kitty Carlisle now. You leave her out of it. It's all right.
Well, that's just from your old days in high society in New York City.
No,
you're going to stealth
right.
For that. But the,
what's my line?
Yeah. But, okay, so I had something to say there, but...
Well, you were going to tell us how Soupy Sales should have run for president and have been a better information age.
No, he realized that Walter Cronkite was the real president.
Mm.
And he realized that the other part of the presidency was those like I.F. Stone and Walter Boert and the counterculture who were muckraking what Walter Cronkite said. That complementarity between the statement of fact by Walter Cronkite and then the objection to that by Paul Krasner and the counterculture and anybody else, I.F. Stone was
Margaret Thatcher, don't lose.
Well, that's
that.
A little later. That interplay of having an expert tell us what is and then other experts refute it, that's the propaganda in action, not the messages. The propaganda is the whole information interplay, what McLuhan called tactility. That's the real propaganda. When you turn on TV every day and you can find out what's going on and then have a response, if there was no TV, then you realize what had been controlling you. Not the content, but the fact that there was no TV or that there was. That's more determinant than anything that's said on TV.
So the more phatic the flatulence,
yes.
the more puffery is the...
That drives the economy, the more wealth. That creates wealth.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. And just to define for those that haven't heard, phatic, P-H-A-T-I-C, means... information where you see somebody at work and you say, how are you doing? That person doesn't tell you how they're doing, usually. They just say, oh, great, and move on or ask you back.
You don't care.
And it's also acceptable to not care in that context because there's other things to do, other words and media that you're engaging in at work. So that the phatic function of information is the main rule the last 40 years. Where it's just say, uh-oh, you turn on TV, oh, television is still on, and Joe is still at work, and he's waving at me. So Katie Kirk is waving at me, Oprah Winfrey is still there on TV waving at me, and I wave back. That's all that information can be. And I notice that you do use the term phatic in different appropriate places, and so I'm just defining what it is. Basically, it's information used as verbal waving, not to establish a fact about what it is and then how to treat your cancer.
Good. We still love Gail, though.
Yeah, the woman behind Oprah. Or the,
with her friend.
She's the Jack Bauer for Oprah. Troubleshooter, right?
Okay.
Okay. In this, maybe she's not Jack Bauer. She's the one who's running the counterterrorism unit, the one who sits back and monitors. She's monitoring the information environment to see what new fads and tendencies are happening. Right? She's fine.
Or seeing what the hem lines are doing anyway.
The scout, right. Okay, so the second topic that Ed has provided within the Hoagland universe is, will government NASA reveal the truth of what they have found on their space missions? What is Phobos, a moon of Mars? What is Phobos, a moon of Mars? So here's what we hear.
Do you think would be the kind of the nature of the data that they would present to us? Would that be in the form of we found ancient things pointing at intelligent life out there, or rather we have something that is actually out there right now, so to speak? It's alive. It's out there.
Well, I think you have to look at how government, which desperately fears what they call an uncontrollable response, you have to look at how government handles crises, and they view this as a crisis. They obviously view giving the human race its real history a crisis, which to me is only a crisis if you've been lying to us, you know, about everything for the last how many decades, and you think there's going to be a real political price to pay when you have to come out and say, well, it's not exactly as we, you know, have been telling you. Obviously, everyone has still seen the film Independence Day.
Do what? There's political assassinations that people do to themselves all day, every day, every way, any kind of way. There ain't been enough of a party left over to match them all together to find out which one's the elephant and which one's a jackass. What in the world are you referencing that the genocide of the political genre is going to be evaporated because they know it's truth, but we did that know that you knew that you know that you
yeah.
did this.
Okay, let's not get into complaining. We've done this in our response to the first time, but we point out the ridiculousness of a situation. But let's just, maybe Ian can tell us, what is NASA finding out that they haven't revealed?
Nothing.
They haven't found out anything.
They hadn't found anything. That's why they hadn't gripped it down to good to the last drop.
Okay, but you do have the Area 54, and I don't know if you want to, we may not go into Area 54 as opposed to Area 51. There is a lot of secrets that come out of the Second World War.
But that's secrets. The only reason they're secrets because they come from Nazi Germany. That's the only reason they're secrets.
Yeah, if they had come from a nicer country, they'd all be revealed.
Well, and you wouldn't be bitching still about the Third Reich, and you wouldn't be bitching about Adolf Hitler.
Okay, but what is some samples, discoveries that came that were made in the Nazi Reich that would be relevant to the NASA mission?
Well, you can't go that far, but you could go to Paperclip. You could go to Oak Ridge. You could go to many dynamics, the actual capacity for building the Hoover Dam, the ability to cure concrete that way. That's old school. That's even older than some of that.
So you're saying that you're reluctant to go into what the Nazi scientists brought over, what they knew. That is risky. And we've heard a lot of claims made about the Nazis or the Project Paperclip scientists, what they knew, what they developed. And you're saying that's not what has actually happened is way beyond that.
Yeah.
And it has to be, the people would be frightened by that.
Yeah.
Either
frightened or empowered.
Right, they're empowered too much. That's a factor.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, let's just clean that up. Here, we got to tell you something. Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whichever, the power's flowing. You're coming into your place of power. The decision's going to be what you're going to do with it. Okay, that's way too much for me at a 22 place. That's way too much for me. I can't take this no more. I'm out of here. Or I can take this pretty good and then a little bit more. It's the fastest path to my joy to have this knowledge, knowledge on the knowledge, you know, and you're on the ledge.
Yeah.
The ledge. That's why they call it knowledge, because that's why you got to decide if you're going to jump or not.
Engage or immerse yourself in it.
One way or the other. You can't have it both ways. Now, there is two conversations going on, but you can't have it both ways. You won't allow it. It either is or it isn't. Well, that's not the way it is.
There's two conversations, but you don't have to make a decision about one or the other.
Exactly, because the is not, as Shakespeare's tried to get you with it, but maybe that was a conspiracy too. To be or not to be, that is the question. Well, no, actually it would be to is or not to is.
Right.
Is actually the better position, because with whether or not something bees is relative. And so if you know the information or you don't know the information, either way it doesn't make any difference. But if you know something's going on, then you can embrace it Well, and then you don't mind using the damn technology out of it. You don't mind figuring out. Do you understand how important the slinky was? And how they had never thought of a slinky before the slinky came up? Now, nobody knows what it does, and nobody knows why it's significant, but everybody had to have one.
Yeah.
And that technology to create a slinky was pretty prolific in its moment. But they still don't know how it works.
Okay, so what is... Okay, so certain things you can't talk about, but the main thing you're saying is that the scientists and experts are finding out, if they're actually doing some research and take it seriously, they will all find out, and what they would have to announce is that they are obsolete, and we suggest you, the listener, take in your own power, take in your own form of knowing, and that is the punchline behind all secrets that experts would not want out, because it put them out of a job.
Well, they wouldn't be experts.
Beg your pardon?
They'd be regurgitators.
Say it again?
They wouldn't be experts, they'd be regurgitators.
If they accepted what the amazing thing
was. Well, if everybody knew what they thought they knew, then they could know what they thought they knew.
Right, you mean, what the experts are saying, if you adopt that as a fact, then you're just a regurgitator is what you're saying.
Right.
So the main discovery is that one does not have to rely on external information to have a sense of what is.
Right. Because when you have a generalized sense of what is, that's when the question comes and the conspiracy theory is, and it gets taken to trial and it gets to be judged. Then you get to form a decision deciding which is true and which is not. Well, it's all relative. Well, then if it's all relative, the theory of relativity will be cheeky with that. If that's the case, then it's relative. Well, if it's relative, then it's not set in stone. Well, if it's not set in stone, then you can't mortar it up with concrete. And if you can't mortar it up with concrete, then everything you know is the very thing that you can then unknow.
And in one impression or effect of what I was saying just a minute ago was that the final results from all research projects in all different fields is that you have the power and that you don't need to rely on them. Even that is limiting, because if you judge what images of power they might suggest you can now have, then those images of power are limited by what they say your power could be.
What does limiting mean?
Did I say limiting?
Yeah.
Limiting is what I meant.
Oh, well, we like limiting.
Okay, well...
We like that. We just want to know if you knew what it meant so we could use it.
you can use it any way you want. I'm
limiting. Imitating a limit.
Yes, yeah, that's good.
Imitating. We like that. We thought you hit a nail on the head. Call Noah Webster, the lexicographer. They working on the late shift tonight, Ed. We've got another new word.
Yeah, I mean, welcome. You're happy. I offer it to you to use. No problem. Limitating.
Limitating. Yeah.
But if we look at, will government NASA reveal the truth of what they have found on their space missions? You're saying they haven't found anything significant, but that doesn't...
They don't know what part's true and what part ain't.
okay, so...
What do you mean, okay? Wait a second. You're not going to let that go, Bob. That's too good a lemon to squeeze. You're not going to let that slip. What does NASA know? What do they know?
Well, maybe they know that people are gods.
Okay.
But they don't want us to know that.
Oh, okay. So they filed an official document that then the Freedom of Information Act is withholding until somebody gets old enough to be dead, and then they can find it out. Think about this whole thing just a little bit. It wouldn't serve them either way. If they want to boldly go where no man has gone before, they can. But it didn't take NSA to clear the conspiracy to make sure it was not outside your pay grade. Gene Roddenberry did that long time ago.
Yeah, so Gene Roddenberry, his television show 30, 40 years ago, was way more influential than any document that NASA is going to reveal in 2010.
It validated the NASA program for them to be spending all this money to figure out what was going on in the and the Phobos, the Phrobos, and Lobos, and don't forget Orc.
Yeah, Mork and Mindy.
From Orc. Those Orcs.
Okay, but that's why we could call it not the military. McLuhan used to point out how silly it was to talk about the establishment as a military-industrial complex in the 60s when he said, he didn't use his term, but this is what he meant, it was really more a military-industrial entertainment complex. And Star, what did he make, Lunbury? Star Trek. That show helped fund, create reasons for of images that the people would accept NASA to be budgeted so much money. So it was important. It was the real space mission. Let's put this idea that research will lead to us floating through space like we show each week on Star Trek. That justified the old 19th century institution, NASA.
So that's what. So they knew that, and the secret was that they had to figure out a way to sell everybody a blueberry so they could have their very own blueberry in their pocket. So
yeah.
They weren't smart enough. They were smart enough to have the technology, but they weren't smart enough to teach the stupid humans that they wanted one.
That's right.
Is that right? I mean, is that way? Now, see, we're just asking because from our world to here, little old non-physical, it just doesn't compute. From our side, it's almost like the humans are so backward that somebody has to wait until they can be smart enough to figure out what they're going to tell them so that they'll know that that's what they wanted, whether they like it or not or believe it or not or do a conspiracy theory or put it on 2020. And let Barbara Wawa tell you everything you want to know about it. That's wonderful. But you have to be pretty disconnected that you have to have that degree of limitation to validate the precipitous of the validation of the thing that is up to the individual human creator, whether they're going to have it or not anyway.
Okay, let's carry on.
Are we close there? I mean,
yeah, you're very close.
It seems broad for us, but law.
Yeah, you're close on analyzing the content dynamics, whereas I'm emphasizing the dynamics of form.
Who is it? But there ain't much to talk about if we don't get something in there. But
okay, let's see. Maybe Rich will come up with something else. Here it comes.
That great scene on Air Force One where, you know, the president says there's not a darn thing we can do. You know, we don't have any super technology. You know, we can't stop these alien invaders. And one of his advisors, I guess the National Security advisor says to him, "Well, Mr. President, that's not exactly right regarding, you know, Area 51. I think we're dealing with a very similar scenario.
Mm.
And to bring it back around, I think my departed friend Arthur C. Clarke, who knew an awful lot and was connected at very high levels. I mean, look, NASA named an entire space mission after him back in 2001 Mars Odyssey.
Mm.
So you got to believe that Arthur had some connections and some insight. And when he and Peter wrote that film and dubbed it The Year We Make Contact, I think we need to look more seriously at that timetable because we know that most of this stuff is done on a ritual calendar, on a ritual clock, and we can get into some of the background there if you'd like. But that's why I have serious concerns and shall we say, anticipation, that this year, in fact, something pretty cool might unfold officially.
Okay. Ion, what do you know what he means by ritual calendar?
We do. Ritual Nixon.
Richard Nixon.
Bob, you have to listen really close to the words, what they're saying. Ritual Milhouse Nixon.
Okay, but the good joke, but...
okay, so Bob, for you, what Richard is talking about, he's based his books and his whole thing on this idea of an Illuminati ritual calendar. So they will pick days like May 1st, these, dates that have significance.
Of releasing secrets. Of releasing secrets on certain days.
For the space shots themselves. And, you know, and then the craft has to travel at a 33-degree angle because that has significance. It's like you're 22.
Right, I understand that. Okay, so that's what he means. Ion, is NASA using a ritual calendar?
Good Lord have mercy, no, for Pete's sake.
Can you prove your no?
Yes, as much as they can validate that there's a ritual Nixon calendar.
Well, okay, let's hear how you prove that they are not basing it on a ritual calendar.
Well, they don't add up. If it's going to be all about that degree and that position and that point, then it ought to always be without fail or exception, and it isn't. So if the ritual Nixon version of it isn't always ritually Nixon, then, you know, you better talk to the psychic and see what they have to say, or would that be a Gene Dixon? Oh, wait, maybe that's a different conversation. So if you're going after it from that way, it doesn't always work that way. So therefore, if it's not always that way, then it may not ever be that way.
Is there an Illuminati team that is dribbling information out according to some kind of pre-programmed stages of apprehension?
Well, you do it yourself, Bob, with your crew, so you're asking us?
Who's my crew?
You're Illuminati. You've been head of the Illuminati forever.
Yeah, for a long time, Secret Council 10. And we know that ideas such as waiting
now,
for us.
Don't tell Ray Land. She'll get upset. But go ahead. Validate your point.
The whole point of Tetrad management, which was what we did in Secret Council 10, is to allow people to entertain the ideas and encourage the idea that we're doing a ritual calendar, because it makes us seem powerful, and also it ignores the 20th century fact. The ritual calendar is a 19th century way of governing, but the 20th century fact was it was not the information and the facts that we would release to enlighten people that ran you. What ran you was the confusion created by using all these different media. That's what ran.
And then to really tie it up, they didn't follow the ritual as it was laid out to really keep you jumping. So it may not be the right ritual day when they release the official document that validates all this knowing that you weren't ready to know, that they weren't sure they knew.
Exactly.
Okay, we did that already.
Yeah, we did that. But your point is right, is that we would purposely go off the ritual calendar just as they thought they were getting it, and then allow them to be confused by it, as if there was some significance to the calendar.
Lord, Lord.
Okay, so it was real easy to confuse the people. Okay, here's the next part.
And I can even be so bold as to tell you where I think the break might come.
Okay. Where is that?
I think Phobos. I think the information on this little tiny moon, this inner moon of Mars, which has been obviously leaked out of ESA, the European Space Agency, regarding an object which, by any measure now, by any scientific calibration analysis, if you look at all the data, it's overwhelmingly obvious to anyone who's objective that Phobos is not a rock, it's not a captured asteroid, it's not something that was assembled in Mars orbit by the natural forces billions of years ago of solar system formation. It is, in fact, an ancient, incredibly damaged, battered, bashed, aged artificial object.
All right, Ian, is Phobos a artificial object?
Good. Artificial object. What does artificial mean?
Well, I think it might mean, you know, made by hands other than God, and it's like a junk of an old spaceship or something.
Never. Nothing is made. It's not made by
the God is us. So, okay, let's say it this way. I assume he means it's not geological. It is something, it's an artifact from a civilization.
Your planet you're sitting on is not geological. So
the geological Earth we're sitting on is a product of civilization.
It's a product of God, which is you.
Right. But is Phobos a significant moon?
Oh, no, he's saying it's not a moon. He's saying it's something.
Good, we got you to pay attention here. Is Phobos a moon of Mars?
Yes, Phobos is a moon, a real, live, genuine moon.
Made by us, God.
What is the definition of a moon? It is a stellar orifice held in an orbit of a planet. So it is. And even if it's what he's trying to say is some space trash from some ship that the Duracell batteries run out on and it just got stuck there, if that's the case, by definition, it's still a moon. And if it's artificially created, we don't get artificially created, because it would be an aged thing if you left using time. If you left today and started floating toward this moon, it'd be really old by the time you got there.
Okay, well, you're blurring. By you blurring that we make the Earth and all the objects we're in, it blurs the categories that people normally use about what's the natural.
Well, they're not doing a very good job with the categories that they're pointing at either.
Okay, so is Phobos space junk?
No.
It is a, what can we say, what do you want to call a moon as we, a geologist?
What's the definition of a moon? Something held in orbit of a stellar planet.
So a space junk would fit that definition if it was,
if that's what you want to use,
Yeah, if you use the word moon, then space junk fits the definition of moon. So Phobos is a moon, whether it's space junk or not. Now, aside from that, we'll ask whether it's moon. Is it space junk? Not made up of rock and stones, but made up of metals or some kind of...
Well, that, you can't really go at it that way.
No, 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 okay, just, is it made up of metals? No, you, okay, you can't go it that way, so...
All right.
It, because metals are made up of geology.
You can go and see. Hello, hello, you can go and see and get you some of it.
Okay, you can do that. Well, if, and most people are keeping it secret if they have that ability. So I'm assuming they don't have that ability, and so they look back. So you wouldn't they go there even if they don't know it. They're going there, okay?
Good.
That they're consciously, can they bring something back? Yes, you would say. Yeah. But if you are thinking of the planet Mars in the way scientists and the Hubble telescope present it to you, and you think of the moons around it, that's a limitation.
Right.
Okay, so we got that point, but now we got to carry on emphatically about all the details that Ed's laid out. So we're taking this little point about Phobos. Is it a moon of Mars, accepting the conventional meanings of moon? And for he's saying, we know he means that it's not a moon of Mars, it's not geological, it's space junk. Do you agree with him?
He doesn't know it. He said he thinks it. So he doesn't know. He thinks it.
Right. He's, but within that thinking... You would say Phobos is not space junk.
A regular, normal, celestial moon so happened to be in stasis of orbital control of the gravity of the planet that is Mars.
Okay. On to the next topic. Monument.
Oh, so it's candy bar.
Okay. Monument on Phobos. Phobos is artificial and filled with rooms, doors, and bullheads. That's what we're going to hear about, so let's hear.
In my interpretation, officially sanctioned by official agencies, space agencies around the world, and I think you're going to see it start with microbes.
Now, wait a second. How do you qualify something you don't know with things you can't validate, that you can't speak about, that nobody else knows, and they haven't even figured out at this point to be able to release it or not, to vindicate or validate it? It's more ifso facto. So we want to lay that out real clear. That you don't have any terra firma to begin this long, arduous slide down into the abyss.
Right. Why do you say he doesn't have it? I'm sure he has some kind of information.
What does he have? He says that he's got this from that that they can't release because they don't know.
Okay, so we found that last session number two, people, and even in session one, referring to nebulous factual sources that actually are pretty nebulous.
Okay, and then move rapidly to archaeology, and the archaeology now that is overwhelmingly convincing to any, you know, objective observer.
Emphasis on objective observer there. Is there such a thing as an objective observer, Ion?
Yes, they call it an oxymoron.
Okay.
When I look at these images of Phobos from the ESA spacecraft from Mars Express, and you basically see what is a battered but constructed object with all kinds of geometry indicative of artificial origins.
You know, stop.
Okay.
Where do you get artificial objects? What is artificial? Not real? Imitation? Artificial? What does that mean?
Okay, well, look, you can make poke holes in any word. What does anything mean? We don't want to deal on that level, because anything is artificial or not artificial when you use a broad philosophical detached view of everything. So let's not argue with the semantics of the word artificial. Let's pretend that what they mean by artificial, we understand it. And what he's going to tell us is it's an object filled with rooms, doors, and bullheads, okay? So then he gets back
to every world that is full of doors, portals, windows, rooms, corridors.
Oh, well, yeah, but can you show that to anybody?
Have. Everybody that's been knows, and they're not chatting about it.
More general vague things. So I'm going to drop you on that point, and we're going to try to... You're being too vague, and...
we asked for clarification, and you can't do that, so...
He got clarification within his terms. I don't have them here. I don't have the books or website images, but I assume he has some...
I want to know what do you say, and we'll use your words, we love your words, what do you say artificial means?
I don't know what artificial means. I'm not involved. I understand the questioning of anything. I don't believe in any term that says anything about anything. Because I know it's not limited to that term. So for me, there's no such meaning to artificial. But I'm engaging what Richard's saying within his terms just for the sake of arguing within his framework. And I suggest you try to get into his framework and then tell us something that you would fight it. Don't keep moving to the general level about what is life, what is ion, what are you. These are endless things that are not answerable. And that's really the level of knowing one should operate on. But these people don't operate on that level. So we go down to the down to their level. And let's see you rebut them on their puny level. Here we go.
You know, these things about clues in terms of disclosure and knowledge and beginning with Phobos obviously have been ignited already, actually, if you look at what Freemason Buzz Aldrin mentioned in terms of Phobos on C-SPAN. Tell us about that, Richard.
Buzz Aldrin appears on a major American network called C-SPAN, which is a political network which covers all the comings and goings of, you know, the legislature, the Senate, and the House on Capitol Hill here in the United States, and the goings on of the White House, and all the political ramifications of policy, et cetera, et cetera. Aldrin goes on C-SPAN and suddenly says, oh, we really shouldn't go back to the moon. We should go to Mars, but we should go to Phobos because, and then he hauls out a model on network television and says, there's a monolith on Phobos. We don't know who built it. Probably God built it, but people are going to ask who built it. So he created a cascade interest at a subtext level in the idea that there may be something artificial connected with Phobos. That was a year ago. And then this spring, we have the new ESA imagery and radar and leaks coming out from the investigatory teams on ESA from inside, particularly the radar team, that in fact Phobos is artificial and filled with ancient rooms and bulkheads and doors and whatever, and that information ultimately is going to make its way into the general public data stream. And if I didn't see a political drip, drip, drip in that progression of events in terms of time, then I guess I don't know how to analyze politics, but that's the picture that I see.
Okay, Ian, is there a monument on Phobos?
A monolith?
Yeah, monument, monolith.
But no, not a monolith on Phobos.
Well, that's, for whatever reason, you might have a picture or something. I don't know what he's citing, or maybe that guy showed pictures on C-SPAN. If they're...
They
granted,
had
let's
a model.
What? Yeah,
they had a model.
Okay, so they have that. What would you say they're missing? Or why do they think? What are they basing their idea that there's a model of something? What are they basing it on that you would correct?
C-SPAN's version of the Senate subcommittee conversation for funding for a NASA-based project to go see what might be artificial on a moon of Mars.
That's what is that? That's what are you answering there?
What they were talking about doing.
Right. So they want to get funding to see if there's a monument.
To see if they can get there and have the key to open up all those doors and windows and artificial things on this artificial moon.
Right, within those terms, as you've just used them, is there something artificial on Phobos?
We can't answer that because you can't tell us what artificial.
Right, right. No. We're taking on what they mean.
What they mean. We don't know.
I know you don't know. You do know what they mean, but you don't. You get lost in the words.
Okay,
is there something?
Bob and Ion, I have my dictionary. So human creators like to separate nature from humans. So they don't take
right.
into consideration that humans have created nature. So the dictionary defines artificial as that which is created by humans, which is not, they would say, natural or nature.
Yeah.
And then when you look
right.
up the definition of nature, get this. It says that which is not, natural. The definition of natural, it's a negative. That which is not artificial.
So therefore, using the great definition given there, we can now firmly tell you plain, not what we think, what we know. The moon of Mars is not artificial, and nothing about it is artificial.
That doesn't tell us anything. You see, Ion, we know, us ascending ones, know the illusion of this language, and that Richard is being very sloppy with his language. But within the course of producing a program, you're allowed to be sloppy because it creates wealth and argument and discussion. We don't bring in, it's like McLuhan said, objects are unobservable, only relationships between objects are observable. There is no object or noun that you can put your finger on. But our culture pretends there's nouns for all kinds of cultural reasons. And within that world of nouns, I want you to state whether there is a monument on Phobos. And you say no.
No, and it's not artificial.
So that it's natural.
Right.
There is a natural monument on Phobos.
It's not a monument.
What is it?
It is just a protrusion on a moon on Mars.
A protrusion, something
and,
that juts out.
And that's how the photo looks. It looks like a rock on the surface.
Okay, great. And will they get their funding to go to the moon, Phobos, to find this stuff?
Oh, Lord, yes. They've got a little bit of TARP money left, I'm sure. That way.
Okay, so you don't think they'll get any funding for that project?
Well, there's no money. They burned all that up. So.
But there is money if you're getting paid, like George Norrie, to run a show. There is money in discussing this silly topic about Phobos and the monument, because Richard can get paid or write books about it, and George can get paid for discussing it. That's where the money is, by talking about topics. And all the old institutions are just topics for the information whirlpool.
Good.
You agree with that? Okay, so let's not be fooled by the content of what Hoagland is talking about. The real mystery is why Hoagland gets to be the regular guest on Coast to Coast. Why don't they have me on? Okay.
Well, because they don't care what Marshall McLuhan knows.
Oh, I can talk about a lot of other things.
That's right. But they got to get some point, Bob, or the communication, however phatic, won't ever land anywhere. And that's why you're saying let them have their vague proximity of flow of information to make something to give them something to talk about.
Right.
And we say no. If they don't know the words that they're slanging around, how are they supposed to vindicate or validate when the official memo gets here what it says? If it's so vague and floppy, well, that's not even phatic. It's just so vague and nebulous that when the official document gets here, it ain't gonna say nothing. So now we got you got your memo, and it didn't. You don't know any more than you did.
Yeah, so I'm the real whistleblower, because I'd get on George Norrie and Porto. Everybody's show, including his, is involved with puny secrets and the covering up of them. And the real discoveries, as McLuhan said, are protected by public incredulity. The real discoverer about the information environment that I'm talking about is the thing that's being suppressed. They should have me on every day talking about this so that people can understand why they don't have to pay attention. But see, people do like to pay attention, so that's how wealth is created. It doesn't matter what's going on here, and that's another secret that's not talked about. It's more topics, the better. The more vague the topics, the more mysteries. If you didn't have these mysteries, then these made-up mysteries, that you could know something about, then you wouldn't have any content for the radio shows or TV shows.
So then your show could be about deciding how much attention costs.
Yes, yes, very good. Yeah.
Good, that's nice.
We're talking about the process of the information environment as well as particular secrets. I'd like a little bit more data on secrets, on particular secrets that I could tell us, like what's going on Phobos. Maybe there's nothing going on, but I'm shifting from talking about the process and the form of the information environment to particular secrets. Now, and Ion, you said when we brought up Area 54, you didn't want to go there. So we have to admit that we're not going to be able to talk about certain things that one could get in a private reading, Ion.
Right.
We can say that, yeah.
So maybe we could use Ion as our own private Mars mission, and he could describe what's up there and tell us what he sees.
Oh, absolutely. You got others that have been.
That's a good idea. Okay, so yes.
We can tell you who and when they went. And when they got there, when they got back, and what it was like, and.
Good, good, we'll do
and
that.
If you look out the window in about 15 minutes with your Kodak and snap a picture, you can see something out your lanai.
Right now.
Yeah. In 15 minutes. And it gets kind of be pretty intriguing. We find it very delicious, and we find it very intriguing. Of how Bob is laying it out very, very nicely. Nicely doesn't mean anything, but it becomes a fluid way to consider what it is that you're having all this contrition regarding.
Mm.
That's the point. The better word would be who knows and who cares.
Right.
But the point is the ones that know aren't going to tell you, because then they would be a heretic. Don't you remember the Reformation and how all that plans out? They don't honor you for being right too often. What
That's right.
they honor is if you have the ability to change the mean.
Right.
If you can change the mean, then all of a sudden you just broached the information superhighway, because now you have provided another way for the humans to have their own interaction. There's nothing that can't be found out on the world, any world. You can find out way more than anybody ought to be able to know. But that's because human creators are coming into their place of power. That's all that is. And now it's and that's not fodder for the conspiracy theorists. All that is just the dynamic that people aren't getting excited about anything. Used to on three television, we're talking about the TV body now.
Yeah.
On three channels, you had everything that could ever be on the TV, and you had the program bought the TV guide every week so you could see what was going to be on. You could find out what was going to be on Starsky and Hutch, and they could tell you what it was sort of going to be about. Well, in three channels that covered the whole wide world, they had it all. Now you've got 1,000 channels and nothing on.
Okay, and before we go on to the next quote from Richard Hoagland, who has been to Mars, or has anybody been to Mars from here, from this Earth?
Yes.
Who has been there?
Several of those that have had what you call private sessions with us.
Okay. How about dealing with historical entities or figures?
Okay.
And historical means those that got presented in book culture, in the book medium. That's what we mean by history. Did you make it to the book or to some record?
Mm-hmm. Many of the Lafitte, Chateau Lafitte, made it to Mars.
The Rothschilds.
Many did.
Did they do...
The early ones, not David and that crowd. You know better.
You mean the Meyer Rothschild sons in 1780s, 90s, 1810?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's
but did they do it with a mechanical device?
No. Not required. No.
Did they do it with a subtle body? in etheric form, riffraff.
No, they took their meat sack with them. It wasn't subtle. It was in a real live body.
And why were they able to do that?
Because they didn't have a separation regarding it.
And did someone inspire them?
Yes, the conquest of knowing. They didn't want to think. They wanted to know. That point of creation is enough. It's what makes you... People didn't know they wanted to tweet until they could. But somebody had to know you could tweet so others could.
Right. So they... was there wealth built on traveling to Mars, or that was a side effect of being wealthy?
Side effect.
Right. They're looking for more. And once you own a lot and have a lot of money, and whatever that means in gold, then you look for another kind of experience.
Well, yeah, perfectly happy where you are and ready for more.
Yeah. Okay, so they, so what did they, did that help them make more wealth by doing that, or that just was something they enjoyed?
It was the quest for information. Much of their world was based on information.
Right, so they...
They had another one, Cornelius Vanderbilt.
Right. Well, we find, having had many hours with you, that many famous dynasties and empires and monarchs and emperors had this power, and that power developed into an empire. I mean, their empire was based on this kind of ability.
Right. No, their ability did not subjugate their propensity for creating. I'll tell you another one, since you're asking, the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Right, but...
And she was just a hayseed.
Right, but the empires, like Henry VIII and the Tudor dynasty, these people were able to... Plantagenet was before them, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, but anyways, these people were able to develop secular power because they had these abilities, or they developed certain power and then they're bored at the level of power they get and they look for more.
Well, we love that, just like you said it, minus the bored. Because, see, once you find out what a bit of bliss is, bored is not a descriptive adjective for bliss.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah, you just do more. Bliss is where you've arrived and then there's more bliss.
That's right, and you never get it done, you can't get it wrong. So all we're saying from this dynamic, we've given you a few names, and that's fine, but there are much more practical applications. A lot of the folks who are interested and get this dynamic that we've spoke about, that what they call, now they play with us all the time, and we love them, everyone. They call them wordy words.
Yeah.
Well, when the wordy words, the ones that start noticing the wordy words, that's when we start defining. And we'll use your words, not ours, because when you look at how silly your definition, the definers, definers,
right,
are, then all of a sudden you start questioning the validity or veracity or propensity for the application of those words in any esoteric field of relevance. So if it's not relevant, then it becomes irrelevant. Well, if it's irrelevant, then it becomes... Well, we always play with then it would become irregardless, if you're going to misuse the word regardless. That would put you in a place that if you could know what's going on, you know. Okay? If you know how to turn on your computer, then you don't have to think. You know. Same way with this flow of information. Now, we want to give everything. If you want to ask, we want to tell you. But at the same time, we want to be particular that you don't shoot yourself in the foot just because you got cartridges in your long gun.